All right, let's go into the word. Let's begin in prayer. Thank you, Father, for your spirit that you have so richly given unto us upon your resurrection. Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask and receive this morning that the truth of your word is taught with accuracy, with clarity, with precision. There is no confusion. There is no contradiction. Our hearts are receptive to receive the word of truth this morning. I'm declaring and decree at the end of today's meeting that since we are edified and Christ alone is. Hallelujah. All right, so we're looking at word of faith. Okay. So I was saying on Wednesday, was it Wednesday, yeah? I got a couple messages and people were, you know, interested. Like I was saying, on last week's Sunday, what I spoke about towards the tail part of the end was not in my notes. It's not even in my note for this series. I've been trying to build out a different series for that. I got my notes ready for that a couple months ago, so I wasn't even thinking about it. You know, but I believe that it was very helpful and instructive. And I think, you know, as believers, one of the things we need to pay attention to is that when we have meetings like that and words stare us in our face, what do? We just listen to what God's word has to say to us. Look, we found out that, you know, okay, I'm wearing a suit. I would have shown you. I have some scars on my body, right? Now, these scars, if you touch them, I'm not going to flinch. It's not going to pain me. It's not painful, right? But you know, there are some scars you can have on your body that when someone presses it, what happens? They will shout. What's the difference? Healing. Time. Right? Healing. Time. Now, it means that there are certain scars that are on people's bodies that have not been healed internally. So, at the slightest touch, what happens? You are provoked. You are angered. All right? And the truth remains that the moment you find out that is... So, if as a normal human being... When I mean normal, I'm not saying... I'm just saying normal. If as a human being, all right? When you feel that kind of pain, the first thing you do is not to think of how to get it healed internally. Then there's a further problem. Altogether, there's a further problem. Right? So, it means that as believers, the same thing as well for believers. Look, when the Bible says that you are a new creation or a new creature in Christ Jesus, let me tell you, your memory of your experiences and your past is not deleted. I wish that is what usually happens. I wish that the moment someone just says, I'm a new man in Christ Jesus, everything you've gone through, you just forget. They say, oh, where did you live when you were 14? You know, I was an unbeliever at that time, so I don't really have an experience. I can't recollect. It's not what happens. So it means that by default, as believers, the experiences you have up until when you become born again or become righteous in Christ, become a believer, right, is something that can still influence your actions going forward. Right? So a believer can be born again and yet is acting like his or her experiences, not his or not what the word is saying to them or saying about them. So the Bible says in Romans 12. Let's start from Romans 12 today. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. It says, verse 1, it says, I beseech thee, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He now says in verse 2, and be not conformed to what? To this world, but be what? Transformed by the renewing of mind. Now, Paul is talking to Christians. It means a believer can be a believer in Christ Jesus, and he conforms to this world. Paul says, do not be conformed to this world, but be what? Transformed by the world. So the transformation that happens, there is a one-off thing. No. It's a continuous thing. It's an ongoing journey. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. So it means that your mind, the soul, or the part of your body by which your experiences settled is something that needs to keep being renewed and transformed. Can we say it's something that needs to keep being washed? Yeah? So, there's a song we sing when we're growing up. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood? So what's the answer to that question as a believer? Yes. But the washing of the garment of your soul is an ongoing work. It's something you have to labor to do. Are we together? So the word that washed you to make you white as snow, the blood that washed you, the word that washed you, it is that same word you use to wash your mind. So how do you wash your mind? Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. Let me tell you, I hope you know that a lot of times, you don't do what you know. Are we together? A lot of times, you don't do what you know. A lot of times, what you find yourself doing is you actually do what you are exposed to. Are we here? Yeah? A lot of times, you don't do what you know. Are we together? From the part of the world where I come from, traffic light is for the people that installed it. You know what I'm trying to say? That's a figurative expression. Yeah, the people that mounted the traffic light is for them. It's not for others. You know what I'm trying to say? It's not for men. Right? Watch this. You see, my last trip to Nigeria in April, right? So, I mean, I struggled. I didn't want to drive because I had lots of meetings back to back and I felt like it was going to stress. But one day I decided to drive. I think I was driving for maybe to Rigido or church, one of those meetings, right? And guess what? I got to a traffic light at Jabi, just on Jabi Otaku, if you know Abuja very well. I got there, I parked. That traffic light was red for nothing less than 5 minutes. And throughout the 5 minutes, nobody attempted to wait. Nobody attempted to wait. Do you know what I mean? You know, it's one thing for you to pause and look left, look right. No police, you move. Nobody attempted to wait. So, I mean, you can feel stupid. Because people will even come behind you and be saying, who is that stupid? Look at you. You are the one obeying the traffic light. They are calling you stupid. Do you understand? It's showing red. Right? I remember one day I was taking my bus somewhere. You know, and we're driving somewhere around town, right? And all of a sudden, we're about to cross a major crossroad. Me and my mother was saying, pause. He was just saying, go, 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 go. Now, we're going. Another car was coming from this side. You know, Nigeria, you are driving on this side. Passenger is here. He was on this side. So I was here. Driver was coming here. He was moving close to me. He was dragging his body close to me. Wait, I did not know he did not want to die. Right? But he saw the traffic light. I said, don't worry, just go, just go. A lot of times, you don't do what you know. You do what you are exposed to. Can you hear that? Do you know, a lot of times, some things you do, it's not because you don't know what not to do and what to do. So it means that knowledge, as it were, ought to also have a combination of exposure. Because you can know you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, and the way you walk, is you walk like a mere man, or you walk like somebody who is defeated. You can say, I'm victorious in Christ Jesus, and the way you act is actually like one who is defeated. You know why? When you see yourself acting like one who is defeated, it's not that you don't know the words to say that you are victorious, it's that you have a lot of defeated people around you. You don't do as much what you know. You do as much what you are what? Exposed to. This is God forevermore. So Paul will say, do not be conformed to this world, right? But be transformed by the renewing of the mind. Like I was saying a couple weeks ago, right? If you don't want something in you, don't put it what? Around you. It's only in our generation where you want to fast. And the best place you wanted to go and pray is inside McDonald's. The place you chose, you just felt there was AC there. Yeah? What will happen? Before you know you are fasting. Before you know it, you first sit down. You are sitting, no, AC is blowing on you. Before you know it, somebody carries their tray with burger and fries. Before you know it, you drop it. You will not start from burger and fries, you start from water. Right? Then before you know it, you take bottomless cup. Before you know it, you look left, look right, look left, look right. You take what? Chips. You just start with chips. You buy the mini one. You even buy the one for kids. Are we together? Then what happens? He's fasting himself. God has fasted for us. Yeah? What did you just do? You exposed yourself. Meanwhile, you knew what you should be doing, but you will act based on what you are exposed to. So if you don't want it in you, don't put it around you. You know, the Bible says, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, he says, be not deceived. Evil communication, what? Corrupts good manners. Are we together? Evil communication corrupts good manners. So there are many times believers talk defeat. It's not that they don't know they are victorious. It is that they are exposed to people who are defeated. Because there's a way a man who is defeated walks. And there's a way a man who feels defeated thinks. Think about it. You finish watching a football match, right? And you are defeated in the finals. You clearly see how those who are defeated. Well, think about it. Imagine you didn't watch the finals. And you walked into a place where the screen was just playing or showing the aftermath of the match. By looking at the screen, you know who won. You don't need to have watched the match. You don't need to know the score. You know who won. So, as believers, we ought to ensure that we are paying deliberate attention to what we expose our minds to. Look at Proverbs 13, verse 20. Word of faith. That's what we're looking at today. Word of faith. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20. Are we together? See what it says. It says, he that what? Are you there? Let's read together. One, two, three, go. He that walketh with the wise men shall be wise. Okay. Can we say he that exposes himself to wise men? Are we together? It says, he that walketh with the wise shall be wise. A companion of what? Fools shall be destroyed. So if it dawns on you at a point, you're acting very foolish more often than not. Check your cycle. Like they say, if there are six foolish people in a room and you are in that room and all of them are your friends, I can assure you. No, they say they can assure you are the sixth. Altogether, you are the seventh, perhaps. He that walks with the wise shall be wise. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. If you want wisdom inside you, what do? Put wisdom around you. Now together. If you want foolishness inside you, what do? We did a series called Faith and Folly. Is that Faith or Folly? That was last year. Is that correct? Yeah. And we look through how believers act very foolish sometimes and believers act full of faith. And the truth remains that a lot of times, the reason why you do the things you do is as much the influence you've allowed around you. So he that walks to the wise shall be wise. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 24. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Proverbs 22, verse 24. Are you there? Let's read together. One, two, three, go. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go. Let's read verse 25 together. One, two, three, go. Lest thou will learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. What did he say there? Make no friendship with an angry man. Do you know, a lot of times, right, the reason why you act the way you act is because that is all you saw. If you find yourself always getting angry, check it very well. There was somebody who was always angry around you as you were growing up. You grew up in a home, for instance, where if your father wants to express his anger, the first thing he does is to what? Carry the table and throw it on the TV screen. You know, statistics shows that many times people that swear not to be like their parents eventually become like their parents. Altogether. Yeah, you make up your mind, say, I swear. It's not by swearing. Like I said, you can know what not to be like. You can know what not to do. You can know what you should be doing. But what you are exposed to is what you eventually do. Right? If you grew up in a home, for instance, where every time, you know, your parents are having any issue, your father, your mother will say to your mother, yeah, yeah, slap me now. Yeah, is it not slap? Don't use your hand. Slap me now. You will do it when the time comes. Are we together? Praise God. Now, why am I mentioning this kind of scenarios? Because many of us find ourselves in those kind of scenarios. But many of us are not prepared enough to change it. How do I know when I see what you are doing? Right? So if I'm exposed to something, because I know I do what I'm exposed to, it means that I need to now start exposing myself to the kind of home I want to build. You know what I'm trying to say? It means I need to intentionally. So if you are not having friends, elderly couples, for instance, or people who have gone ahead of you in life, setting barriers and guardrails for you, there's every tendency you repeat all that you saw. Are we together? So, you know, people ask many questions. So what's the first step to actually breaking free from? You know, there's something called generational pattern. Let me tell you, dear saints, either you call it generational pattern, generational curse, any name you call it, I am aware that there are patterns that operate in a generation. And it takes a man. I now always tell you, it took my father taking a step out of his family to say, I break the generational pattern or curse of poverty in my home. Be plain. This is not an African thing. You're not aware. Sometimes we talk because we're not exposed. You understand? Some of us, the idea of foreigners is all we saw from the TV screen when we're in our African homes. So we think there are some things that are limited to Africans. We're not exposed. You know, I always say it this way, right? Sometimes when you think there are certain things that people are doing that they should not be doing, and you don't really understand why they are doing what they are doing, more often than not, you've not been in their shoes. Not together. So we have that ideology of, oh, these people are this way, you know, all these generational things. Let me tell you, have you not seen families where the grandfather, I'm talking of they were born and bred outside of Africa, and the grandfather, where did he end his life? On the streets, picking food from dustbin. The son, from dustbin. The child, from dustbin. You say it's just coincidence. You don't understand. You say we like grammar, we like English. Your father's father. He lived 50 years on the earth, and where he ended his last 10 years was on the streets. Your father ended that way. You too, you are getting a nudge to move towards the streets. And you say it's just coincidence. Those are patterns you need to break. I remember my father gave a revelation, an explanation. So he said he had a revelation where he saw, I can't remember, my mom will probably know the exact story, where he saw that he went to his father's house and he brought down a rat. Have you heard that kind of story? You've heard that story, right? He removed a rat from his shoe. In his revelation, he saw a rat in his leg, was it his leg or his head, somewhere, right? And he brought the rat and he killed the rat. And he said that's when poverty died. I can tell you for free that my father's lineage is not the same lineage of all his other siblings. This is public. This is life. It's not a joke. I'm telling you. I'm telling you for free. We don't want to go into details, but I can tell you for free. My father called me and he said to me, my son, I want you to know that I don't have any child. I don't have any child before you are my first child. 95% of my father's cousins, brothers, relatives, all of them gave birth to children in their teenage into early 20s. All of them. All. In fact, in their family, they know and they say it's only Pastor Amos. He's one of the few who doesn't have a child outside wedlock. I think that's not a pattern. Me to imagine, I would have followed suit now. Imagine I'm just preaching one day, somebody now comes. And I'm sure my dad, it was good my dad told me. Because now that he has passed, let it not be that one somebody that just feel like they are tired of poverty. Now come and say, I'm the first child of Pastor Amos. Yeah, or imagine I'm preaching one day, somebody just comes out. You know, in our family, we look, there's a way we look. If somebody tells you that I'm a Yusuf, you will have to prove to yourself that you are not, if you see the face. Right? So imagine someone just comes and says, okay, imagine I'm just even welcoming newcomers. Hello, sister, how are you doing? I'm fine. What's your name? Katrina. Katrina and Yusuf. You know, the first thing everybody will do is to look at the face. The nose. They have the same nose. They have the same forehead. How is it together? Katrina, you see, eventually you will find out that more often than not, the environment in which you grew up in, you will reproduce it. Do you know why all of them are behaving like that? All of their fathers married 3, 4, 5 wives. If you grew up in a home where your father married more than one wife and he bought 2 houses for them and was renting, it's not flex. So it's a pattern you have to break. If not at age 40, you will marry another. Are we together? Are we together? You see, these are patterns that we see when we grow up. The first step to get yourself out of it is to be aware that is a problem. Are you with me? The first step to break free from anything is to first be aware. So number one, awareness. Are you aware is a pattern? Are you aware? You grew up in a home where anytime your father is angry, he goes away for the weekend, right? And he goes and stays in another lady's house, another man's house, or starts living, or he has a, you grew up seeing side chick as normal. You know what I call side chick? The chick that's by the side, right? You see it as that's what you saw. Let me tell you for free. If you don't expose yourself to something more solid than that, you will do it. And you know what you will do about it? You will do it in a more foreign way. Why? Because you have to use, you can even go and use law papers to certify it. All together. You grew up in a home where every evening, different cars come to the front of your house to pick your mom. Please, first be aware. Be aware. Different cars. Today, Lexus. Tomorrow, Prado. Right? Tomorrow, Rolls Royce. Right? You grew up in an environment where there were several men you called daddy. Please, there is a problem. Why? Because your mother was dating several men at different parts of their lives, and each of those periods, they came in as daddy figure. Please, the first thing is, see, let me tell you, don't fight it. Just agree that it's, just be aware that it's there. The second step is accept. You know, they're different. Because you can be aware, the knowledge, and not accept. So the first step is be aware. The second step is what? You accept. What are you accepting? You are accepting that it was a reality. You are a new man in Christ, though. But you're accepting that it existed. Don't gaslight your mind. Do you get what I'm trying to say? Don't leave this world. Don't live in denial. Are you with me? Don't live in denial. Don't live in denial. Very, very important. Don't live in denial. So you are aware. The second thing is that you accept that, of a truth, this is what I saw. The third thing is you believe that something can happen to change that. Number one, self-awareness. Two, agree. Accept. Three, you believe that something can change it.
Yeah?
When you believe, number four, let me give you this one. It's not my note, but let me give you this one, number four. When you believe you can change it, let me tell you the next thing you do, write it down. Write it down. I'll give you another one after that one. Yeah? You write it down. We're together. Right? After you write it down, what do you think the next thing you do? Not recite it, though. Okay. Yeah? You speak to it. You can say against, to it, you speak to. Don't forget, you are not to speak about your problems. Remember, 2 weeks ago, you speak to. That means, and also, one thing you can do again is, those things you are speaking to, you write it down as well. So write the things you are saying that will counter, or you want to counter what you've seen that you've accepted or you believe can change. altogether. When I was growing up, one of the things I saw was that my father was somebody who, a lot of times, would spend more money on the people that are outside than the family that is inside. That is polygamy creeping in, small, small. Yeah. The first time in my life, I was chased out of school for school fees. Let me tell you this story. I think I've said it before. I was chased out of school for school fees. How much? I'm talking about 20 years ago. School fees of 20,000 naira. My entire school fees, I don't think it was more than 150, 100, or I can't remember the exact, but they would chase me for 20,000 naira. That was the first and only time. Guess what happened? It was on a Monday morning. The name of the man is called Mr. Agama. He's with the added lizard to it. His name was Mr. Agama. He was our vice principal. We were together. And one day, I just got into class. Mr. Agama just told me, I went to the bathroom. I cried. Do you know why I cried? First of all, they say you've not paid school fees, embarrassing. But that you've not paid school fees, and it's 20,000 naira, and they chase you out of class to stop attending lecture, and you knew your father could afford it, is more painful. My dad later told us that the day before, somebody gave him a gift on a Sunday service, a gift of 150,000 naira, a gift. Just put it in the envelope and gave it to him. Not to pay my school fees, though, as his money or as a gift. You know the way you give pastors gifts? 150,000, 20 years ago. Guess what? Between that Sunday afternoon service and evening, he has finished everything. House rent of people, he gave them. School fees of people, he gave. Are you with me? Yes, eh? We cannot buy drugs, he gave. He finished everything before Sunday afternoon. So this one is the one telling me his story. So it's not the one I heard somewhere else. When I saw that, that's a pattern that can continue my life. I now found out when I was younger, I was very generous. Very, before you know it, generous. Before you know it, everything, you are generous till you are dry. You know what kind of generosity? It's a pattern. Eh? We have to break it. All together. That's why. So when you see me today, open Excel sheet. Yeah? If I give you 50,000 naira today, your name will enter my Excel sheet. You're laughing. You know why? Because of how generous I am. I don't want to, because I cannot, let me tell you, I cannot list out, I've given probably maybe 50 to 100 people more in the last 1 year, but I cannot count 5 of them. I will have to sit down to recollect their names. So what do I do? If you come and come again, I don't have energy to go and be strolling to our chat, because now what people do now, somebody did it to me last month, disappear message. The person asked me for money, I sent him money, I sent the receipt to the person, the person prayed for me. I went back to the chat to go and look at the prayer. Both the prayer, the evidence, the ask. I can show you. I felt like, you know, that kind of thing, you'll be like, wait. Am I dreaming? That's gaslight, proper gaslighting. The person prayed prayer for me, long message. Not even ended with, I love you, brother. I went back to read that. Both the ask, both the screenshot, both the prayer and the thanksgiving, I did not see it. You said I should not have Excel sheet. Yeah. So what do I do right now if that brother comes again? What is your control F? That's my brother there. I just go to my Excel sheet and there's a formula I've put that tracks all the value from all the pages. So if your name is on page 20, it will come out. Control F, Control Highlight. Has this one given? And I'll just look at the highlighted number. I've given you 1 million. I've given you 100,000. I've given you 50,000 before. I don't need to tell you that. But right now, I'll just tell you, sorry, it's not convenient for me. Why am I doing like that? Because I saw it. I remember one day, my father cried one day. This was 2012. And that was before we left the country for the first time. I remember very well. My father came back home. We spoke to him and he cried. Why did he cry? He felt, how can his children not, with the kind of money that has touched his hand, his children don't even have passports. Talk more of they've traveled out of the country. Meanwhile, there are people, he's paid their flights to leave the country. This was 2013. He made up his mind that year, that was the first time I left the country. I came for IGOC in England. And you know what he did? Intentionally made me come every year for almost 5-6 years. So I went first. So I came. We came together to the UK. They dropped me in the UK. They went to US, right? Then they came back to UK to stay with me for like a week. Then we went back to Nigeria. That was the first time we left the country. We did it 2012, 2013, 14, 15. 2015, all of us now went together. We came to the UK, right? That is a pattern he had to break. That's why me, if you see me carrying my wife and my daughter for any trip, don't envy us just like that, too. I'm breaking pattern. Are you with me? Are you with me? I'm breaking pocket. So I just say we have to break pattern. Yeah? Yeah? I'm telling you. If not, you will be shocked at the number of people you've helped without paying a lot of adequate attention to your immediate family. It's a pattern. You don't have to call it a cause, but let's accept it's a pattern. Are you with me? So what do? You first are aware. You accept it. All together. You accept it. Right? Then what do you do next? You believe that it can change. Is that correct? The next thing is what? You write it down. Then you speak to it. Then the things you are speaking to it, write it down. Let it be your affirmation words. Say it. You say it consistently. Say it consistently. Let's look at Mark 6 as an example. You know, even when I first got married, and when we first got married, my wife used to be a very interesting traveler. So she likes to travel around, you know. And for me, not like, you see, I've seen people who say they don't like traveling. See, if you don't like traveling, let it be that you've traveled around first. Then you now say, I don't like traveling. You've never entered a plane before. You say you don't like traveling. What do you mean? Do you understand? Hey, how can you like traveling when all your trip is 12 hours? You are driving north to east, not to south in the country. 12 hours bus. You can't like traveling now. You understand? You can't like traveling. It sounds funny, but it's the reality. Right? So you would do night bus. Yeah, to cheapen the price. I say, no, I just... Somebody say, I like to travel at night because the engine will have more breeze. With less traffic, then more breeze will be entering inside the engine. You know, you only do your experience. So you just go one day and say, no, I even found out that there are people... You know what I found out? Last week, I was looking through one of my notes. I did a teaching in school there, 2014, 2015, a choir had invited me to speak in my choir then. So I saw my notes a few days ago and I said something. I said, if people are throwing stone at you, it's because you are a tree that has fruit. Hmm. Yeah? Hmm. It sounds wise, but yeah, but I think it's wise. Really. Because a tree without fruit, you don't see people throwing stone. Then someone say, if you are at the top, you become a topic. Clock is and of a truth. So get yourself to a place where people are always talking about, particularly when people just are envious for, you know, people who will talk. And let me tell you what I found out that a lot of people who just talk and talk carelessly, the reason why they are talking the way they are talking is envy. Or you say a pastor, right, sits down on his microphone or in front of his camera, and all he's doing is listing all the churches that are, everything they are doing that is wrong. And only their church is the perfect church. He is envious that crowd is not coming to his church. Go and check it well. Yeah? If you check it very well, the people that they talk against are not people who have... The people they talk against are people that have crowd. They don't talk about people where it's two or three are gathered. Together. So a lot of times, you see people just have that... Let me tell you, the reason is sometimes it's envy. Sometimes how you grew up, right? You just felt that life should not be bigger than something. There should be a cap to how life should look. Have you not seen some of your friends envious for you? Envious of you? Are we together? Some of your friends will just look at you. And you too, some of you are envious of your friends. Yeah? It is you've grown up in a certain way, in a certain dimension, in a certain environment where it looks like... You've not seen... There's a way a lady will look. The first thing an average mind will assume is that she's into prostitution. Or she's sleeping with men. And for a brother... There's a kind of money you will have, right? You say it's Yahoo. I was flying somewhere with my wife one day, right? I was sitting down just in front of the plane, right? And people were walking down the aisle. Me, I was looking at their faces. My wife said she bend their head down. I could see their faces saying, "Look at him, he stole money." I could just assume that that's what they are saying. If it's true, how did they afford it? So me too, I look at your face. Okay. You have eye, I have eye. Good look. I say, "Hello." If you like, don't respond. My wife will say, babe, me no. Because you need to teach people that you don't, you are not somewhere at a point does not mean you will never get there. And that you are not somewhere at a point does not mean that people who are there, they have to cheat their way to get there. Yeah? So when you start seeing your mind behave that way, what do? Activate your words. I'm a content person. If you go to Instagram, your house that used to be very fine before, you go to Instagram, you follow one interior decorator. Right? And the interior decorator just designed somebody's room and it says, "My client just turned 35. You two, you are approaching 40. You now leave the Instagram and go and disturb your husband. See the furniture you put in the house. See the furniture you put in the house. Now tell me, how would this look attractive? Yeah? That's problem. No, I think because your laugh was laughter. Everybody just look at me. I was just looking at me. Are we together? Yeah. You decided that your wedding will be 10 people, 15 people. You open Instagram, the first thing you saw was drone. You saw drone come down to a wedding tent. Right? And you saw burgundy on the left. Then you saw pink on the right. Then you saw the lady's gown from there to here. You two, you now start exploring. Who is the vendor? Who is the vendor? And you know there's some clothes you see. No need to ask the vendor. You know your pocket. Yeah, this one is not faith. This one is folly. You know your pocket. You know that a cloth that draws like this, that the material of what you propose to buy in your heart, the gown, if you sell only the gown that is flowing, is not up to the price for the gown, the added gown. Why are you looking for the vendor? You say, "I want to just wet my eye." You see that? That's why it's very problematic when you are a very good window shopper. If you are not, before you become a window shopper, be a content person. All together, be a content person. Not the one that you go out with your partner, you are doing with the shop, your partner hold your trouser like this. Your partner hold your trouser from one side and say, "Don't go far, just let's window shop." you know, you can be a window shopper, go through 50 stores and not pick anything. I cannot even enter. That's another level. All together. Because the moment you start testing, the moment you start exploring, before you know it, you start seeing yourself living in that reality. Before you know it, you will feel like it fits your palm. Before you know it, you feel like your ring is now with. Before you know it. Yeah, credit card. Before you know it, another credit card. You call your bank, "Amex, please, can I increase my limit?" You that you are still owing £15,000 and you don't even have a plan of paying it. Now, the new thing is that people now use their credit card when they know their post-study visa want to finish. And they used to finish it and they leave the country. All my people in Nigeria, now when they tell me they want to marry somebody that was in abroad before, first thing I ask them, "Have you seen their record?" Because that kind of person now, they block you and your family from traveling. You understand? You were schooling here, you did post-study, you saw visa was not coming. You picked 15,000 Amex credit card. You went to go and pay for nonsense. You went to go and pay for braces. Right? You now go back to Nigeria. Somebody now in Nigeria is now looking to toast you. You now say, I'm from the abroad. You too now as a man, you're now excited. Oh, she's exposed. Let's look at your credential. Not the one that you don't have visa, you now want to apply for visa. They say you are linked to this sister. Right? They blocked you and your children. You know, people don't think far. But let me tell you, all those things that make you behave that way is the way you were exposed. I can't imagine myself behave that way. Even if I don't plan to come back to the country, why should I take money that is not my own and go and do something that is very ridiculous? You see, a lot of times, and you know the funny thing, the unfortunate thing people use for that is based on how inferior the thing. There's a word they call it. Insecurity. When you start seeing yourself behave that, what do? You pick words. I'm content. I'm a content person. Are we together? Right? Don't be the person who knows all the designer bags that people bring in the church. Are we together? Yeah? Huh, this one is Chanel. Right. This one is Tote. Is it Tote or Tote bag? Tote. Is it Tote? Okay. Yeah? You know every bag. There's nothing wrong in admiring. But you know, more often than not, it's only the person that admires that knows the intent of the admiration. You can't know it for them now. So I'm saying to you, the person that's admiring, check your heart. Yeah? Say, I'm a content person. If I, as you are talking to somebody, oh, your bag is very nice, but I'm a content person. Yeah? I told my wife something. You see, there's a position of influence that God will give you. That even if it's 3, 4, 5 people you are leading, there are certain things you cannot say you like. Are you with me? Yeah? You know, and I told my wife, the first time it happened, she was when we were still, I think, 2, 3 years ago, right? And she just said she liked something to someone randomly before the person bought it for her. Right? So she didn't tell me that that's what she said before the person bought it. It was later I now found out. So eventually from then, over time, she stopped saying it. All of a sudden, she did it again earlier this year. And before you know, the next Sunday, somebody brought it again for her. Somebody say, that's why it's good to be a pastor's wife. You don't know the trouble that follows. The trouble. Thank you, my sister. See, you know what I'm trying to say? There are some things that when you talk about it, the way you're talking about it, people might sense or feel that you want it. If you had it, you'll be happy. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah? You know what I'm trying to say? Oh, this your, what can I even use? When someone comes to your house, I say, this your couch is so beautiful, so lovely. And that one is more expensive. Before that one is even, it's something of £50. I like granite. You know what? It's an honor if somebody buys for you. No. See, no, do you understand? I understand. It's an honor to buy for a pastor, but I'm your pastor, Abby. No. Let's put the context to context well. You get the point. Yeah? But what I'm just trying to say is, you don't want to put people under that kind of pressure. It's not your intention. It's subconsciously. You know what I'm trying to say? Right? So it's very important that when you find yourself living in a certain kind of life, go back and first be aware. Where did you grow up in? If you're somebody who always likes to, you always like to respond to everything that is said. More often than not, it might be that when you were smaller, you were a kid, you could not talk. Now you've now graduated from university, you now feel like every situation you talk, you will now talk yourself inside trouble. Altogether, you know, some of us, we grew up, we didn't have siblings who could protect us. We didn't have friends who you could say, if you tell your friends, say, I'll go and report it to my brother, they will shake. When I was in primary school, there was a friend, I don't know, it's not your name in Abuja, it's Yaz Laundry. Yazid, that was his name. We were very close, right? So I didn't have another brother, obviously. He had another brother called Mahmoud. Because of Mahmoud, that was 3 years ahead of us, anybody that tries to misbehave in our class, what will happen, right? We'll go and call Mahmoud. Mahmoud will just come and just peep his face inside the classroom. And what will happen? Everybody will just, I'm here for this, I'm here for that, everybody will just melt it down. Some of us, because we saw people do it for other people, we didn't have it, we now feel like, oh, at this point of life we are in, what can we do to fill in that vacuum? Say words of faith are powerful. So when you are exposed to a kind of life you are not happy with, what do? You expose your life to another kind of life you're not happy with. You know, it also includes poverty. Yeah? It also includes rudeness with riches. If you grew up in a home where your father used to command, how do I say this now? Let me say it differently. You grew up in a home where people who were working for your parents were treated as slaves, not helps. There's a difference, though. A help is not a slave. When you see a slave, you know. So if you saw an environment where, you know, people are just, you know, once your father just comes out of the house like this, 5 people are already around. It's a blah, 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 right? And before you know it, they are shaking. They are shivering. As they are talking, you are seeing their mouth shake. You say, you know, when you're grown up, you can feel, I don't like it. Let me tell you, if you get more influence, you will do it. In fact, it might even be at work. Once you just get to work, you want your secretary to be shaking. right? I think I was reading a book, Making It Big, right? And, you know, Mr. Femi was saying that when he started, he employed one managing director or something in his company. And he started watching the guy from a mirror in his office. He realizes that when the guy drives into the building, one person will run and come and open the door. Another person will run and take his suit. Another person will run and take his bag. He said, that's the end of that guy in his office. You see that void that makes you feel like, you know, some people, the only reason why they want to marry pastors is the respect that comes with the office of the wife of a pastor. Mommy. Yeah? That's the only thing. When you start seeing all those traits, all those things, see, check your heart. Check it well. And the best way to put your heart in check is with your words, not by imagination. Yes, sir. Look at Mark 6 quickly. Are you learning something today? Mark 6, please. Or let's look at Mark 5 just for the sake of for our time. Look at Mark 5 verse 7. And when he saw Jesus afar off verse 6, he ran to worship him and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of the Most High, I adjure by thee that thou torment me not. Verse 8, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. How did Jesus tackle the demon-possessed man? Speaking. Remember that? Right? Look at verse, same chapter 5. Look at verse 36. As soon as Jesus heard the words that were spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only what? Believe. 39. And when he came in, or when he had come in, he said unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead. What did he say to the damsel in verse 41? And he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talita Kumi, which is by interpretation what? Damsel, I say unto thee, arise. Right? So we looked at this over the last few weeks. I'll just close here. We looked at this over the last few weeks. We see that Jesus used his words to deal with demon-possessed. So it means that demon-possessed conversations, or demon, let me say differently, demon-influenced activities needs to be tackled by the use of what? Words. Hebrews 11 verse 3, it says, through faith we know that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So the world you want to see, whilst you know, is not enough to know. You must say and expose. Remember, you must expose your heart. Things like that. I was talking to a friend a few weeks ago, and I was talking about getting married to someone who wants to get married to. So I was asking for my very candid advice. You know, and this is why I call it candid, because, should I say this way? In the last 2, 3 times or 4 times he had been in relationships, right? He always sort of, he's my friend, my age mate, or probably he's older than me with a couple of months. But in the last few times he's gone into a relationship, there were certain things so he always, before he makes a final decision, he usually would want to sample my thoughts and just hear what I have to say, right? Which I honor and I regard so much. You know, and I said, I've seen it happen 2, 3 times. So a lot of times when we talk, I don't even know he will act on what I'm saying. But sometimes I don't say do this or don't do that. I just tell him, pay attention to this. So we were speaking about a couple weeks ago. And he said something. He said, the lady he wants to get married to, the mother and father are no longer together. The mother's mother and the mother's father are no longer together. The lady's 2 siblings and their husband are no longer together. Right? Then he now says something about the auntie. He just mentioned about 5 different women no longer together with their partners. I said to him, now, this might not be the case in your own case, but if there's no level of awareness from this lady, if there's no level of acceptance from this lady, and there's no level of willingness genuinely to seek help from this lady, your marriage too will be the number 6. You know why? You see, when you grow up in a home where it looks like, let me tell you something, there are different categories of this. If a father and a mother get married and they give birth to a child, and one of the party dies, that scenario is different from, watch me, if a father and a mother get married to themselves and they separate themselves and they don't remarry. That scenario is different from if a father and a mother get married to themselves, they separate themselves and both of them remarry. The scenario is different from a father and mother get pregnant and give birth to a child, and one party remarries, the other one goes around and continue living around and enjoying, what they call enjoying, suffering their life with different women or different men. You know, I've just given you five scenarios. They're not all the same.
Yes.
How you deal with them is not the same. One whose father passed or a mother passed at an early age is not this. Now, all of them can end up in the same situation, but the trajectory of their experiences are not the same. So if you grew up in a home where your mother's father, your father's mother, or your father himself, or your father just got tired of the relationship. There's some people, I was counseling someone four or five days ago, and he asked a very simple question. How's your father? The way he spoke to me, I knew there was a problem. He's a mentee of mine. I knew there was a problem, right? He just spoke very bitter. And guess what he said? He first said that, he said he has never known his father. That his father walked out on them when they were younger. But because God has helped me to deal with very different dynamic scenarios similar to that, I don't jump into a one-side story. See, a lot of times, particularly when it comes to husband and wife, if you hear one-side story, you're on your own. You're on your own. Who will not want to polish their story to fit them? Everybody wants to make themselves the object of attention now. Do you know that? We kept talking. I said, how old are you? And I told him his age. I said, you are no younger. In fact, right now, they are trying to force him to change his father's name. And I said, but you said you never met your father. But you have been bearing your father's name for over 20 years. There has to be a problem there. You can't tell me your father abandoned you. You can't tell me your father abandoned you. Right? And eventually, we now find out that it was maybe when he was 3 or 4, he went. That story is different from he gave birth and you abandoned. But do you know why he spoke that way? That's what they told him. That person, now whoever must marry him, must be first careful to understand. He needs to be aware there's a problem. Do you understand? Because his ideology of abandonment, he feels like he was. The story they told him is that your father abandoned you. Only for him to now find out he even knows the full name of the father. Do you understand? When did they teach it? So, offense can make you talk in a way that you, and some of us, let me tell you, one of the unfortunate things we find in ourselves is, in our generation right now, is when you see parents go their separate ways, some of them want to use the children to torment each other. Let me tell you, is the child that suffers. And is one of the heights of wickedness. Can both parties give birth to a child? And because one of them said, I'm not doing it again, you now decide to want to use the child to torment the other party. Yeah, because you know the other party does not have a visa or passport. You now carry them to Philadelphia. And you say you have one external old uncle that is, no, it's just unnecessary. Who suffers it is the child is growing up broken. You know, many of us are broken, really. But we don't want to hear it. Is it not painful to say that you are broken? Honestly, it's painful. Well, light and lie is painful. But if you are not aware and you accept, you can't change. And together. Yeah? You can't change. So, dear saints, why are we having this? I'm going to do a series right now. You know, I'm trying to lay foundation now with this today's teaching. I'm doing a teaching of marriage. Yeah, the kind of questions I saw in that our last question and answer session. It means there is need for marriage seminar. It's not a seminar, it's conference. We need marriage conference. It's a marriage conference to backload ourselves together. Yeah, don't worry, I've already started getting my notes ready together. Yeah, we'll have it probably in the next few weeks. I'm just trying to get a few things out of my table. But let me tell you, some of this, we're going to look at it properly. Husband and wife, get yourself together, sit down, look at the table. Don't put food in between. Don't put food, remove food. Put only water to be drinking as your speech is drying, right? And talk. You see, let me tell you, it's a good thing for a husband and wife to come together and make laws in their home. What kind of laws? Laws like, for instance, I will not slam the door on you. I will not walk out on you. Right? I won't hang the phone on you. I won't raise my voice at you. Yeah? It's important though. Altogether. We won't sleep angry. Altogether. Right? When I try to say I'm sorry, When you tell me you are sorry, I will accept it genuinely from my heart. When I tell you I'm sorry, please accept it. Those are conversations you need to have. Then also another thing is, let's look through our families. What did we see in our homes that we love? Start from there. Yeah? We've got our back. It's a good trait. Don't throw the baby and the bathwater away. In our family, I grew up that we all got our back. We have that back. We have that unity. Take it. Write it down. What again did you see? We saw that both our parents were so loving. Put it down. We saw this. Then what did you see that you don't want to see in your home? Right? We saw that our parents could stay for 5 months without talking to each other. I beg you, write it down. More often than not, if you saw 5 months, you do 15 months. They just add zero. Zero is insignificant. Yeah? You just... And you know when you do it, it's subconscious. It's not intentional. Right? Write it down. When I was growing up in my father's house, yeah? In my father's house, let me tell you, some of us in our father's house, they used to count meat. You have a friend that's like that, Nabi? Was it not you? Your friend used to... Who used to count meat in their house? You had a friend, or you mean their parents or they used to count meat in their house. You know, I remember the story more than you. Yeah? If you grew up in a home, you know the story. Now, the one that told me, how can I forget your story? You're not making it look as if I'm forcing the story on your head. You told me the story. I remember. I can mention the name. I know the address. I can mention the phone number. This one is word from knowledge. Yeah? When your mother finished cooking, see, let me tell you, if you grew up in a home where your mother, when they finish frying meat, they count it, it's a problem. It's a problem. It's a problem. I tell you. Let me tell you what you don't see behind the silver accountability. It's a thief. It's stealing. What you call it accountability on the surface, but there's a thief behind the scene. You get it? You get it now, right? Why am I counting meat in my house if there's no thief in my house? It's because I feel somebody in my house take the meat and they will arrange the pots. Arrange as if nothing moved. So, you see, obviously, if you don't say it this way, you might not understand. Some people actually believe that when they count meat, it should not be a problem. It's a problem. It communicates two mindsets. There's a thief in the house and there's poverty. Meat. You count meat. You count meat. You fry meat. You count it. You finish putting your meat inside a basin, you start counting. 1, 2, 3. Somebody is calling you, mommy. You say, leave me, let me finish. And you think it's normal. Yeah? So what do you say? You write it, in our house, we don't count meat. What does that mean? It means that you grow your children in an environment where if they say, mommy, I want meat, they will give them meat. You know that you did not finish the meat one day. You should be able to let them learn. This is why you're not eating everything today. Those are the things we saw subconsciously. Are we together? Before you know it, you are not aware that you will do the same thing. Yeah? You grew up in a house where, for instance, they used to hide the key to the car. Your father used to sleep with his car key in his pocket. The car key is always in his pocket. It's not normal. Is it normal? Car key. And when we were even younger, our car keys were not looking like the keys that we have today. It means that it can injure you in your sleep. And with the injury, you still put it in your pocket and you sleep and you are snoring. What do you do? Yeah, you make sure you find it. Yeah, if you grew up in a house where there is father's room and there is mommy's room, it is a problem, Mo. Are we together? It is a problem. Now, my wife has her room. I have my room. No, I don't have my room. We have our room. She has her room. Let me say it clearly. I don't have my room. We have our room. She has her room. But we dare not put a bed in our room. You see the difference? But you say daddy's room, mommy's room, bed, 6x6 in two rooms. That's a problem. What do? You write it down. Yeah? Somebody will say, because I don't want, my husband used to snore. When he snore, I don't like the sleep. Well done. When you were getting married, it's not because of privilege. That's why you think you can share room. If you didn't have money to pay for more than 2 bedrooms, where will you sleep? You will not leave. Or you'll be going out. So when there's privilege that comes, trying to say, there's nothing wrong in you having so many rooms, and I say, this is your wife's room. My wife uses her room for her dress up, her makeup, her kit, and everything. When it's time to sleep, we have our room. Not the one you grew up in a house where every time your father and mother are in his room, you know it's duty. And once the mother finished duty, you'll just be hearing the door open, small in the night. What is doing? She's going to her room to go and sleep. They don't even sleep the full night together. She just goes, does her duty and she opens. It is a problem. Are you learning something today? Are you learning something today? Please, all these things are very important. What do? You write it down. When you start writing, start speaking words. All together. Start speaking words. Start speaking words. Right? You were young. When you were young, your parents got tired of you. They went to go and drop you with one grand auntie in a different continent. Yeah? It sounds innocent. But think about it. You give birth to your children. Why are you tired of your children? That mindset. See, what you are learning as a child from it is a sense of being abandoned. Being is neglect. Let me tell you, no matter the story you tell me, I could not afford, I could not. What do you mean by I could not afford? You could not. There are some times you need to learn to downsize. You can give birth to your child and have all the money and things go south. Leave the house and go somewhere else and downsize. But a man called my father and asked my father to send me to America to go and live with him. When I was much younger, you know what my father said? He said to Yoruba, but I'll say it in English. He said, me, you want to help me take care of my child? What a father. So imagine me growing up with that mindset. He said, you want to help me take care of my child, you, because you're in America. You want to help me. Say it to you. So if you're Yoruba, picture what he just said in Yoruba. You want to help me take care of my child. So imagine me growing up hearing that kind of father. Because another man will say he's wise. He will say, after all, America is abroad. Let my son go and stabilize in America and bring me over. See how you are thinking. Bring me over. Bring me over. You want to jackpot with your son's escape route. See, bring me over. Bring me over. This is what I'm trying to say. Right? So my father said, even if it is Gary, we are eating. Let me ask you, who can love you more than your genuine father? Let me go say, even if your father is not genuine, the love of your father will always still be there. Even if your mother will always still be there. You can't love anybody more than the person that gave birth to the child. You might not like the child when you gave birth to the people you meet because of the circumstances that you born them inside. I mean, you gave birth to them inside though. Right? But as you grow, let me say this to you clearly. Right? You know, you see some situations where you find out that there are people who, you know, because you want to try to oppress one of the parties, you make sure that you don't allow the mother or the father of a child that they gave birth to sit down on the seat they desire to sit on their wedding. That's wickedness. Did you hear what I just said? Yeah? You and your husband had issue. You and your wife had issue. You say, before I can attend my son's wedding, the mother of my son, can you not hear how silly you sound? The mother of my son cannot sit down where she ought to sit down. That's why my dad always pray for my mom. He say, may nobody else be on your seat on your day of rejoicing. Yeah? That's wickedness. If you want to find a way to go around it, come and meet me. I'll show you how to go about it. Do you understand? And you say a human being should not sit, they are not in the mad room, they are not in psychiatric ward. They are living, breathing testimony. And you say, no, because of your ego, you cannot sit down. Who is tormented by those experiences? The child. So you see, a lot of things happen, a lot of us grew up in trauma. Yeah, the reason why our relationships are not working today is not our fault, some of us. But it's your fault if you allow it to keep staying in that phase of it's not working. Did you hear what I just said? We don't blame ourselves, so, because you cannot determine what you saw. You were born into your, you didn't choose your father. But as you start getting of age in your 20s, start taking responsibility for your action. Not everything. You know, the environment I grew up, you know, there was no love in my home. You know, there was no this in my home. You know, eventually, my mom was saying something to me. Let me conceal that a little. Right? If you grew up in a home where everybody is trying to backstab themselves and fight against themselves because they want to win favoritism with the father or the mother, it's a problem. Don't forget, you will only reproduce what you saw. Are you with me? How did we start today's teaching? If you don't want it in you, it's around you. There are many of you who are counselors to people who have marital problems. You will eventually become the marital tragedy. Did you hear me? you eventually become the marital tragedy. You know why? Because as you are seeing them hear what they are saying sometimes, it's sitting well in your heart. Because there's nobody who is counseling in marriage that does not have what he's facing in his own. Forget social media. What do you mean? What you see about my life on social media, what I want you to see. You can't see the other part. You don't think I have another part? You can't see. How many people with the husband or wife slap the other? Both husband and wife, they slap themselves. How many people slap it and say, here's the scar of the palm. Put hashtag love forever. Is that what you see? What you'll be seeing is Mercedes Benz. They put balloon inside the Mercedes Benz. Once they open the door, balloon is coming up. Balloon is coming. Oh, that's so cute. You don't know the slap they eat. You know, there's some slaps you eat. There are some slaps you feast on. There are slaps you eat. You don't know the kind of slap they slap you that morning before they use Benz to step it down. Some people, it is that they beat themselves. They use car to soften their hearts. And it's the car they post online. Are you with me? Right? Eh? This is my diamond ring. You know, I told you, this is my ring. How much is the ring? Eh? This one with my wife's own together, 50,000, 5 years ago. 50,000 naira, 5 years ago. Look at it. Is it not still shining? If you like, don't open your eye. If you like, say it's not shining. 50,000. Yeah? 25K. It was even bonanza. Am I not still wearing it? Am I not married? Yeah, you can't pressure me. You can't pressure me. The things we've done as a family in the last 5 years honestly takes people tens of years by the grace of God. Yeah? It's not by ring. This suit, where is this?
Primark.
What do you see?
Primark.
Uh-huh. Anyone that makes you fly. Yeah? Yeah? Don't get yourself tension. Am I not looking good? Will I say no now? He shot my video they use for except. His video they use for short clip. It's not your own. It's me. Yeah? Primark or Primark now? Primark. So this is the little time my father gave me this tie. And I'm sure they gifted him. Leave it me. Yeah, don't allow anything to put you under pressure. And if you start getting yourself under pressure, start checking it back to the roots. Right? So you should not anticipate to live a big life or a good life, but you must be able to put your appetite in check. Say, I put my appetite. We're not here. Say, I put my appetite in check. Look at someone and talk about the things you've learned today. Hopefully that has blessed you.